Today on The Girl Defined Show, we're having a raw and honest conversation about our unanswered prayers, unfulfilled longings, and what to do when God doesn't give us what we desperately want. Hey, sisterhood. It is Kristen Clark here. It is just me and you having this conversation today, which I think is going to be really fun, really insightful, really hard, but I think we're going to end this conversation with a lot of hope. And I'm so glad you're joining me for this conversation today, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart. If you know anything about my story, which I'm going to share a little bit about, then you know I have gone through many seasons of unfulfilled longings, unanswered prayers, and in fact, I'm still walking in a season of having an unfulfilled longing and an unanswered prayer. And how do I deal with that? How do I find hope? How do I press on? How do I trust God? I know I'm not alone in this. So stick around. It's going to be a really good convo. And then I have a free resource that I'm going to share with you in just a bit, something that has been incredibly helpful for me in my daily walk of trusting the Lord, trusting Him for today, trusting Him for tomorrow, trusting Him with my unanswered prayer. So stick around because you are going to want to grab that freebie. I also want to let you guys know that it is not too late to join us for the 2021 Girl Defined Conference. You know, unfulfilled longings, trusting God, walking faithfully in the Word, growing in our relationship with God. That is something I know I struggle with. I know so many of you struggle with this too, because I hear from you. You DM me, you send us emails, and I know it is hard for us to walk faithfully as Christian women, fighting against our flesh, swimming against the current of the cultural flow of our world. Sometimes we can feel so alone. And so that's why I'm particularly really excited about this year's conference, because whether you are able to gather with us in person in San Antonio or join us online, we are inviting everyone from around the world, every sister, to join us either virtually or in person on July 30th and 31st so that we can gather together and link arms and encourage one another, receive truth together, challenge one another, pray for one another. If you find yourself in a place where that would be really helpful for your spiritual walk right now, then I encourage you to join us even if you can't make it July 30th and 31st. If you get the simulcast ticket, which I believe is only $39, then that will give you access to the entire live event. But if you can't watch it live, then you will get access to all of the recordings, including breakout sessions, for a full year. And so this year's theme is all about shining bright. So it's that passage from Matthew that talks about you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the salt of the earth. You know that passage, so familiar. But what does it mean? How do we live that out? And then we're going to dig into some nitty-gritty breakout sessions where we're just going to unpack all sorts of topics that are just relevant culturally, what we're going through as women, talking about relationships, romance, race and the gospel, anxiety, fear, worry, sexual struggles. I mean, our breakout sessions are filled with just practical topics that we wrestle with as Christian women. Even things as basic as how to study the Bible and love it, how to have authentic worship before the Lord where you're truly worshiping Him. It is going to be a jam-packed two-day conference. And so if you're anywhere in the San Antonio area, it is not too late to get an in-person ticket and join us in San Antonio on July 30th and 31st. But if you're too far away, please consider grabbing a simulcast ticket and join us for the live event. There's going to be an online group of women gathering together, watching it live, where you'll have a chance to interact, comment, share prayer requests. It's going to be a really, really special time. But again, if your time zone doesn't work for that, or you can't make it next weekend, or this coming weekend, actually at the time that you're hearing this podcast, if it's before July 30th and 31st, then that simulcast ticket, again, will give you access to everything for an entire year. So you can grab those breakout sessions, grab those keynote videos, and you can listen and be encouraged throughout the year, because some of them, I guarantee you're going to want to listen to more than once. Okay, go to girldefined.com/conference for more information. If you want to hit up the simulcast page, you can go directly to girldefined.com/simulcast. Again, that's girldefined.com/conference or girldefined.com/simulcast. Okay, so we as Christian women, I know you can relate to me on this one. You have had an unanswered prayer, I'm guessing. If you're anyone older than 10, which is probably you right now listening, then you've had an unanswered prayer. You've had something that you have prayed for and God did not answer in the way that you hoped He would. I'm guessing you've had unfulfilled longings, things that you longed for in your heart and God did not provide those for you. And you know, for a lot of us, that can be so, so hard depending on what it is. I know for me, just a quick flyover of my story and some of the deep, deep unfulfilled longings that I kept praying for, things that I desperately wanted, things that the Bible said were good things, but God wasn't giving them to me. So when I got married back in 2011, which feels like a lifetime ago, Zach and I just recently celebrated our 10-year anniversary. I cannot believe I'm that old, but I am. We have a decade of marriage under our belt, which is really good. I'm so grateful. We've grown a lot. But I remember standing at the altar of my wedding, June 18th, 2011, and I literally remember thinking that my life was so perfect. Honestly, I remember thinking, wow, I don't really have any health struggles. I'm marrying this incredible godly man. I remember just feeling the love and support of both of our families, his and mine. I was in an incredible community of friends, just so much support and love. I remember thinking, wow, like I'm getting married to this amazing man and everything just feels so perfect. You know, what could possibly go wrong? And I had this vision in my mind of what the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years would look like. And it included, of course, marrying my handsome husband, Zach. And then after that, getting settled in our apartment. And then maybe shortly after that, starting our family. I was excited to be a mom. I'm from a big family. A lot of you know there are 8 kids in my family. So I was excited. I wanted a big family. And Zach was on board with that too. And so I just assumed everything would fall into place and my fairy tale would continue on just as I had always imagined. And a lot of you know that that was not the case. And within a year of marriage, we weren't preventing pregnancy, which of course I assumed like if you don't prevent, you automatically conceive because that's just how it works, right? And a year went by and nothing. And then 2 years came. And right around our 2-year anniversary, I think it was right after, I found out I was pregnant. And that was the greatest joy. I just remember seeing those double lines and thinking, wow, okay, God just wanted me to be a little patient. Maybe he wanted Zach and me to establish a good foundation in our marriage, but here we go. My life is back on track and everything's going to be perfect again. It was just such joyous news we shared with our close friends and family, and everyone was so excited for us. And I just thought, okay, my fairy tale, it is really, really happening. And then 6.5 weeks in, totally out of the blue, and very quickly, I started bleeding and miscarried within a matter of hours. And it was so shocking and so just earth-shattering for me and Zach because that just wasn't even on our radar. I know I was naive in thinking that there would be no problems, but you know, especially when you see statistically how often first pregnancies can end in miscarriage. I just, in my mind, I thought this was God's good gift for us and it was going to happen. Everything was going to be okay. And then it wasn't. And that was a time that was really, really hard for me because God gave me a good gift and then took it away. And I think sometimes that can be harder than if he doesn't even give you the gift at all, right? Because now we're wrestling with the loss. We're wrestling with that longing that seemed to go fulfilled and now is completely unfulfilled again. And there's grief and there's pain and there's questions and there's confusion. And, you know, I just remember crying out to the Lord and really wrestling in my heart, why did you let this happen, Lord? And Zach was struggling as a man, as my new husband. I mean, we'd been married for 2 years. Just how do I support my wife? How do I lead well in this? How do I love her? How do I grieve myself as I'm trying to comfort my wife? Like it was a really hard time for both of us. But God was gracious and faithful and gave us the strength and the trust in him. And we moved forward. And then 6 months later, I got pregnant again. And this was like, okay, I was a little bit more, I think, surrendered, trusting the Lord a little bit more of an open-handed posture with the second pregnancy. But still, I thought, you know, statistically, of course, I'm someone who Googles, which can be like a two-edged sword, right? Like, okay, statistically, most women don't miscarry back-to-back. Like that's pretty rare, a very small percentage. So I felt like I was in the green. And in some ways, I think I was placing my hope in the statistics, which is so dangerous because our hope and our trust should really be anchored in nothing other than Christ because he's the one who holds us when things fall apart. And things fell apart. 6.5 weeks in again, almost it really was to the day and happened in almost the same way, except this time we had experience. So I started bleeding. We went to the doctor. The doctor said, you know, ultrasound, everything looks fine. We don't know why you're bleeding, but you should be okay. Went home, miscarried within a few hours again. So again, here I find myself with 2 back-to-back miscarriages, that gut-wrenching pain of God, you gave me a second pregnancy only to take it away in such a heart-wrenching manner. And I was struggling in my heart toward the Lord. I was grieving again. All of our friends and family that knew were so devastated for us coming alongside of us. And it was a really, really hard recovery. But time went on. God was faithful. Zach was right there with me, walking with me through every step of this, grieving, helping me process, just guiding me to truth. He was such an anchor for me. I'm so grateful for him. You know, but then I thought, wow, what is my future? Like, this is so crazy. I never imagined, like any of us, when you hit a really hard bump, a loss, grief, you never imagine that as being a part of your story, right? I never imagined it would be a part of my story. Remember, my life was perfect on my wedding day. I thought, white picket fence, my little kids running around. Like, I imagined 5-10 years down the road, and it looked nothing like what I was experiencing. So there's that kind of that heart wrestle of the ideal life you imagine, and now it's not happening. And there's so much surrender and trust. Like, okay, I thought I was really trusting God, but was I really just trusting Him to fulfill my plans for me? Or am I truly trusting Him to fulfill His plans for me? Because the plans that are happening in my life right now look so different than the plans I imagined. And so it really does get at our core when we face loss and grief and the road turns a different direction than we imagined. It really puts our true trust in the Lord to the test. And I think exposes idols in our hearts and really who's in the driver's seat. Is it us or is it God? Who are we really putting our trust in? And that was a huge wake-up call for me to see that my trust had been in my plans. And I think that's why I would find comfort in Googling things, because I wanted my plans to work. And so I would find anything that would give me hope in my plans. And I think that's normal. I think you've probably faced that too. I think it's something we all face, because we don't really walk around in life asking for trials and troubles and loss, right? We pray for the blessings. We pray for the good things, and that's good. And God is a giver of good gifts, but sometimes He has different plans, and sometimes they do include loss. And so as Zach and I processed that, a year went by, and then 2 years, 3 years, and it was about a 5-year journey of unfulfilled longings, no pregnancy, no sign of pregnancy. Doctor said everything was great. And I remember in this season just crying out to the Lord and saying, God, You say that children are a heritage from the Lord. You say children are a blessing. I am praying for a good thing. Why aren't You answering my prayer? I don't understand. And I would cry out to God and just question, why aren't You giving me what I desperately want when You say that this is a good thing? Can you relate to that? Is there something in your life right now that you desperately want? Something that you've been praying for? Maybe you're single and maybe you say, God, I so desperately want to get married. Lord, that's all I want. You say marriage is a good thing. You instituted marriage. Lord, I see my friends getting married. I see my sister getting married. Lord, why am I not getting married? Why are You not bringing around this godly man that I've been praying for? I'm trying to walk faithfully as a daughter of You. Why aren't You answering my prayer? That's something that's so raw and so honest and so hard. Or maybe you're praying for just, God, I desperately want one good friend. Lord, I just want one good friend that can encourage me in my faith, that can walk alongside me, that can share those deep, intimate details of my heart with, Lord. I just want that one good friend, and I can't find her. Lord, would You provide that, and You're wanting that, and You know that's a good thing. You know God wants us to have those sort of deep friendships where we bear one another's burdens, but she's not coming around. You haven't met her, and you don't know, and you're praying, you're crying out to God. Or maybe your parents have a strained relationship, and you've been praying for them for years, and you're just saying, Lord, please help my parents to genuinely love one another, to come together, to have a godly marriage, and you're burdened for your parents. You're hurting. Or maybe your parents have already gotten divorced, and that wound of them splitting, separating is still so raw. That is so painful for everyone involved. And you're just asking the Lord, Lord, why did You let this happen? Why didn't You sustain their marriage? Look at the fallout. Look at what I'm having to go through because of their choices. And you're crying out to God. Or maybe you live in a city where you don't have a lot of Christian support. You know, maybe you live in a country or a place where there isn't a large Christian community, and you long for that. You see other places where other people seem to have so much, and you just wonder, Lord, I just desperately want some Christian friends, some Christian family, some community. You know, You say that's a good thing, but why isn't it happening? I'm praying for this. Or maybe it's a job for you. You've been praying for a certain job, praying for that next season, or maybe you're in between and you just don't know what to do. And that can be a really hard time, right? When you feel like you're in limbo or you're doing something, but it's just not what you want to be doing. And you're just praying, Lord, provide, open doors, help me to know the way. And it just still feels so unclear, right? Or maybe you have a deep, deep longing to just be genuinely loved by someone. You know God loves you. You know Jesus loves you deeply and desperately. You just long for that person on this earth, someone, a parent, sibling, a friend. Maybe you're married and your husband, you just wish, God, I just wish he would love me more. You're praying for that. And you just feel like you just long for that deeper love. And that's a desperate cry of your heart. Or maybe your sibling relationships are strained, right? I mean, fill in the blanks. This list could go on and on and on. But what is it for you when you think about what you're praying for, what's top of mind. One of the pastors in my church will always ask, when he asks how to pray for me and my husband, he'll say, what's top of mind for you is regarding prayer requests? Like, what's top of mind? So when you sit here right now, or you're running, doing dishes, driving, whatever you're doing, what's top of mind for you? What are you crying out to the Lord for? What's on your heart? What are you saying? Lord, I desperately want this, but you're not giving it to me. What is that thing? I know for me, like I said, that long season of crying out for children, crying out for even, you know, after the first two miscarriages, I just kept thinking I would get pregnant and I'd have to deal with how to maybe prevent the miscarriages. So it was a pretty big shock to me, honestly, after the second miscarriage. We were 2.5 years into marriage when I didn't get pregnant again. And it was like year after year after year. And my prayer went from, Lord, help me to sustain a pregnancy, to, Lord, help me to get pregnant. Help me to just even get pregnant. That now feels like a mountain, a hurdle that I can't get across. Like, Lord, what is going on? And crying out to the Lord day after day and longing. You know, it's so hard when we have a longing and an unanswered prayer because it never goes away, right? It just kind of lingers. It's always just kind of right there in the back of my mind. And something that God really taught me throughout this very personal, very challenging journey, it was a key truth that I think would be really helpful for you. And it's something we've heard, but God kept pressing this into my heart. And it's that God may not always give us what we want, but He always gives us what we need. And that is so true. Because what we want, like I said earlier, doesn't always align with God's plans for us. Yeah, it's our plans. It's what we want. It's what we have written down in our 5-year plan, right? It's what we're praying for. But it's not necessarily what God knows we need. Because if we step back and look at the bigger picture and remember that God's greatest goal for us isn't just to make us happy. It isn't just to give us what we want. It isn't just to answer our prayers in the way we want them answered. But His greatest goal for us truly is to draw us into a deep relationship with Him and to make us more like Christ. Because the more we love God, the more we know God, the more we live out Christ's likeness in our lives, walking in Him, walking in His ways, loving God with our whole hearts, that's where we find true satisfaction and true fulfillment. And God knows that. And so these unanswered prayers, the unfulfilled longings, they actually are in so many ways truly what we need. Because I know in my own life, these unfulfilled longings, these years and years of crying out to the Lord, like I said earlier, they exposed in my heart this pride, this idolatry of saying, God, this is the path for my life. This is the way it needs to go. And if you don't do something about it, then you're in the wrong, not me, right? And God was exposing in my heart this idolatry, this placing the gift above the giver and wanting what I want more than wanting what God wants. And God did a lot of refining, painful refining. I think I have a love-hate relationship with the refiner's fire, you know, that scripture talks about. Like, ooh, I don't really want to be refined. No. I just want to get my prayers answered. But God, again, He doesn't always give us what we want, but He always gives us what we need. And looking back on my life now, 10 years later, I can see even more clearly, so clearly, honestly, now, that those trials, those unfulfilled longings, they pushed me closer to Christ. They sanctified me and exposed parts of my heart that I never would have seen if I hadn't walked through those trials. Now, do I look back and go, though that pain was awesome? Yeah, no, it's hard. We live in a broken world. Sin, grief, loss, those things are painful and those are real and raw. And that's why God also in His word calls us to bring those things before Him, right? To bring our tears, our pain, to cry out to Him. We see that over and over in scripture. So this isn't a God who's just like, you will walk through trials and you will be sanctified. No, He's also our comforter and our helper in time of need. And I felt God drawing near to me in my brokenheartedness, sustaining me, and then slowly nudging me closer toward Him and showing me my need for Him and my deep ability or my deep need to trust Him in a deeper way. Philippians 4:19 was also a really big encouragement to me along these lines. And it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Now notice it doesn't say, and my God will supply every want of yours, right? Because God knows what we need. We can bank on Philippians 4:19 that God will supply every need. And so here's the really, really hard truth, and this is what I had to really wrestle with, is that if God wasn't giving me what I desperately wanted, desperately longed for, crying out to Him in prayer day after day, then I had to trust that that wasn't what I truly needed. Yes, it was what I desperately wanted, But God is sovereign. He is in control. He has my days numbered. He has a plan, a good plan for my life. And was I going to bank on my own thoughts and ideas and plans? Or was I going to place my trust in God and say, God, if you are choosing not to give this really good thing to me, this prayer, this cry of my heart, then I have to trust that you are supplying my every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I have to trust that. I have to make that choice and believe that you promise to give me everything I need, not everything I want, right? That is a very, very hard place to be. So if you're in a place right now where you are feeling lonely, you're longing for that friend, where you're longing to get married, where you're wrestling with maybe parent relationships or a job, and you just feel like God isn't providing, and you're crying out and saying, God, I desperately want this, then I think I just want to encourage you to really come to that place in your heart where I came to, that where you're trusting Philippians 4:19, and you're in your heart genuinely saying, God, if you are choosing not to give this to me, then I trust that you are giving me what I need. Help me to draw closer to you through this trial, through these unanswered prayers. Help me to trust you in a deeper way. Help me to trust that your plan for my life truly is good, because your greatest goal for me isn't to give me what I want, but to help me become more like Christ, to help me draw closer to in my relationship with you, because you know that's where true satisfaction and fulfillment and joy is found, not just in these earthly things that I long for. Even good things like marriage and children, things that are very near and dear to God's heart. We see that in scripture. But Lord, help me to trust you, because you are supplying what I need, right? And it's just that prayer of humility, really, at the end of the day. It's us saying, God, you know better than me. You know what's best for me. Even if you withhold good things, Lord, I know you see the bigger picture. You know what's coming down the road. You know what's right around the corner. I like to use the analogy of, like, imagine if you were looking at life through a straw. Okay, so think of a straw, and imagine if you were holding that up with one eye closed, and you were looking through this tiny straw, and you were trying to look at all of your life, right? Like, you're looking around. How much can you really see? Not much, right? It's like a tiny little opening. And that's really our vantage point for our life. We can only look through that tiny opening and see what's happening today and what's happened in the past. We have no idea what's happening tomorrow, but God does. He doesn't look through a tiny straw. He has a much bigger and grander vantage point. He sees our entire life from the beginning to the end. He sees everything. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what's coming next year, and he's working all things out for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, for his glory and our good. And so when we remember how small we really are in the grand scheme of life, and when we remember our vantage point is so tiny compared to what God sees, why would we ever put our trust in ourselves and in our plans, and even in what we want, and even in the things we desperately want, when we know that God sees all things, and he gives, and he takes away, and he blesses us in seasons where we feel like we're on the mountaintop, and then sometimes he has us walk through the valley. And all of this is a part of his bigger plan, because he is working all things together for the good, like I said, of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. But what we think is good isn't necessarily how God defines good, right? Because in scripture, we see in James, like, count it joy, my brothers, when you experience trials of various kinds. Okay, in this world today, you don't really hear anyone talking about out in the world, like, trials being really, really good. Like, yeah, you know, you want those trials. I mean, there might be in some ways, like, self-help version of it, of like, oh yeah, what, you know, breaks you down will break you up and make you build you up and make you stronger. And it's kind of a self-centered perspective of trials. But really what God is saying is, have joy in them. Count it joy, because, you know, like James talks about, I don't have it in front of me, but it produces endurance, right? And endurance, and produces faithfulness and steadfastness. And God is saying, don't miss what I'm doing through the trials, through the unanswered prayers, through the unfulfilled longings. I am strengthening you, just like a runner trains for a race and those muscles have to be broken down in order to be built up, and you get stronger as you trust God and fight for joy through the trials. God is saying, I am building endurance in you so that you can run this race strong to the very end for your good and my glory. And God says, guess what? I am right there by your side. I am running with you. You are not alone. And so we can trust God, because his good for us is truly what's ultimately good, not what our world says is good and not what we think is good. As I wrestled with my unanswered prayers during this long season, and then, as a lot of you know, around year 7 or 8, I suddenly, out of the blue, 7 or 8 years of marriage, I got another positive pregnancy test. This one was more shocking than the previous two because of the long, what I kind of call, I don't know, the refining years. It was just like a lot of years of trusting God, refining, and really finding joy in my purpose as just being a married woman, pouring my heart out in ministry. That's when Girl Define was launched, and God just did so many good things throughout that season, and I saw His hand working. There was so much fruit, even though I wasn't fruitful physically bearing children. God was just producing so much spiritual fruit in my life, and it was really encouraging to see. But when that third pregnancy happened, in some ways, I kind of felt like it caught me even more off guard and kind of interrupted my stride in the sense that I had been running and kind of getting in a groove of like, okay, Lord, maybe you're not going to give me children. Maybe this isn't your plan for me. And I felt myself kind of falling into a steady pace of just trusting the Lord, serving in ministry, serving in my church, loving my marriage, loving my family, pouring out into my community and just feeling like, okay, I've got this. Like, this is good. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm steady. I'm going. And then when that pregnancy happened, it's almost like, whoa, like, all the plans were flipped upside down. All of the things, just like the raw hurt and pain of the previous two miscarriages, all came back up and resurfaced. The fear of what if this one ends, and just the fear of I can't go through this again, Lord. I don't want to go through another loss. If you're going to give me this pregnancy, which you did, please, 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 God, help this to end well. And I just remember so many emotions just swirling around in my heart. And if you listen to the podcast where I dive into this more deeply, where I really share about my infertility and miscarriage, you can go back in the archives and check that one out. But I just, to make a long story short, Zach and I made it past 6 weeks, past 7 weeks, strong heartbeat at 8 weeks, and everything seemed to be looking so up. Like, this is going to be finally, after all these years, our longings and our prayers are finally going to be answered. And I remember I started having a little bit of bleeding. I think it was around 11 weeks. And so I told Zach, like, I think I need to go in. We had an appointment scheduled for 12 weeks. I actually had multiple ultrasounds up to this point because my pregnancy was considered high risk because of the previous two miscarriages. So things had been monitored along the way. But once I had a little bit of bleeding, I was like, no, I'm not messing around. Like, we've got to go in right now. So we went in and I just prayed. I said, Lord, please, 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 God, let this be good news. And the doctor did the ultrasound. And when she looked at the screen, I will never forget that moment because everything just stopped because she got really quiet. And then she just kind of stared at the screen and I glanced up and I looked at the screen and I could see on the screen that there was no movement. There was nothing moving. And I just kind of glanced over at her and she said, really compassionately, honey, I am so sorry, but there is no longer a heartbeat. And in that moment, I think my own heart stopped beating for a second because it was like a knife stabbed me. The pain, the gut-wrenching blow, Zach came over and just grabbed my hand and I just laid back on that table and I just started crying, kind of like a silent prayer, just tears pouring out of my eyes. And Zach came over and just kind of leaned down and just held me and we both cried. And the doctor said, I'll give you guys some, a few minutes. I'm so sorry. And she left and it was just awful. And it was almost like I couldn't believe that this was really happening. You know, those moments where something's so painful and you're almost just in shock by the news and you feel like this isn't real. This isn't really happening. She's going to walk back in and say, no, that was a mistake. I'm so sorry. That was something else. That was the wrong, I didn't have the right settings or something. You just hope for anything, but it doesn't come. And you're left with the reality of this wave of grief and pain and loss washing over you. And it's not just the grief of the loss, but you're also grieving all of the what could have been, right? Thinking of your due date, thinking of you're already counting on motherhood and counting on, oh, you know, their first birthday, second birthday. Like, you're thinking ahead and you're imagining your future. And now all of that is wiped away. And it's like back to ground zero. And I just remember leaving that place and feeling so just almost betrayed by God. Like, how could God do this to me? How could He let us go almost 12 weeks and then take our baby away again? It felt cruel. It felt so unnecessary. It just felt like, Like I almost felt like I just couldn't trust God. Like, Lord, after this, like, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. And I was really, really wrestling in my heart, honestly, in a way spiritually that I never had. And I went home, Zach and I went home, and thankfully it was right before the weekend. So we had the whole weekend off, and Zach took some extra time off, and I did just to grieve and process. And that was so, so hard. Because again, it wasn't that God wasn't giving me what I desperately wanted. He did. And then he took it away. And I know if you've ever faced anything like that, it, you know, like I said before, it's almost harder than if God had never given it to you in the first place, right? Because now you're dealing with having it and the hopes and dreams and everything that could be is building up in your heart, and there's so much joy and excitement, and then it all comes crashing down. And now you're left in what feels just like an empty, vacant desert. You're just dry and you just don't know how to move forward. And that's how I felt. And so God really did a work in my heart. Like, it took a long time of me wrestling with the Lord, crying out to him. I did a 30-day study on the names and attributes of God because I felt like my heart was going in a really dark direction, and I needed the Lord to revive my heart with his truth and with his character. I needed to remember who he was, because everything in my heart was telling me lies about who God was, about his character. I was viewing God's character through the lens of my circumstances, which is what I think a lot of us, right, are tempted to do in really hard times, is we think, well, God isn't really good because he took this away. God doesn't love me because he made me go through this. Or God loves other people more because of what he's giving them. And obviously he doesn't love me as much because look what he's not giving me, right? And we really start to view God's character through the lens of our circumstances, which is so dangerous, because the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His character is constant. He never changes. But our circumstances change. Our lives change. Our lives are mountaintops and valleys and everything in between. But God is constant. And so I knew that academically, I guess theologically, but my heart was not believing that truth about God. And so I dug into those names and attributes of God, those character qualities of God, read the scriptures, prayed every day, and just asked God to help me believe the truth of who he was. Because truly, if we push away from God, which is our tendency, right? When God doesn't give us what we desperately want, or he takes it away, our tendency is to push against God. But at the end of the day, he is truly the only anchor, the only unmoving source in our life, the only object of true stability. And so when we push him away, we think we're finding a solution, but what we're really doing is falling deeper and deeper into a pit of despair, because we know we're not strong enough to hold ourselves up. And as we grasp for other things to do that for us, we reach for food, we reach for entertainment, we reach for distraction, we reach for control, we double down, and I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to figure out what was wrong. Whatever we reach for, if it's anything but God, what happens is we start to spiral further and further into that pit of despair, truly, because any of those things are not strong enough to sustain us. They're not strong enough to hold us up consistently, constantly. They might bolster us for a little while. We might get this false sense of stability, but we all know it doesn't last. And that's why it is so crucial in our unfulfilled longings, in our unanswered prayers, in our loss and grief, that we turn to the only true source of stability, the only true source that can anchor our hearts and ultimately give us satisfaction, give us hope, give us comfort in our grief, and that it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot come from anywhere else. And so as my heart was wanting to turn away from the Lord, grasping for anything else, I had to almost force myself, like I said, to sit down every day and study God's character, study God's names, so I would remember that he is my protector, that he is my stronghold, that he is a very present help in time of trouble, that he is near to the brokenhearted, that I can trust him and acknowledge him in all of my ways, and he will make my path straight, like he promises in the Proverbs. The more I turned to God's truth and God's word and God's character, and I believed who he said he was, and I trusted in the truth of his word, that is how I made it through that season of deep grief and that season of unfulfilled longing and unanswered prayers. And I want to encourage you to do the same, sister. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're walking through, but I know that you have unfulfilled longings. I know you have unfulfilled or unanswered prayers, because it's part of life. It's something every single one of us wrestles with. And maybe you think, you're thinking, well, I don't have too much right now. Well, just wait. I don't mean to be a downer, but life is filled with ups and downs, and there will come a time. And if we aren't anchored in God's truth, walking faithfully with him, then when those hard times strike, we'll crumble, because our foundation is not strong. something that I really, during this time, as I was, God was doing all of this work in my heart of showing me my need for Him in deeper ways, is I realized that when we pray and cry out to God, I think subconsciously as Christians, we expect God to answer our prayers in the way we want, right? And you know, we read passages like knock and the door will be opened. You know, just keep knocking and God will answer. And eventually it's like, so we get these ideas like, okay, eventually He will give me the longing of my heart. I just have to stay fervent, right? But throughout my journey, what I've seen and what I've seen in scripture is that God, He doesn't always say yes to our prayers, even really good biblically based prayers. He doesn't always say yes. Sometimes He says yes, and sometimes He says no. But what I think is the hardest answer from God is when He says wait, right? It's not a firm yes, it's not a firm no, so we don't know what it is. So it's just wait. It's wait and be patient. Continue crying out. And that's where I found myself as I prayed and prayed, and after that loss and continued praying, I just found myself like, okay, God, He's not shutting the door, because shutting the door would mean either I reach menopause, and so it's physically impossible to give birth to biological children, or I have some condition or something happens where it becomes very clear that we can't conceive and ever give birth to a biological child. But none of that was happening. I'm not to that stage yet. Doctors say everything looks fine. We're healthy. We're both great. Zach and me, we've been checked out. We have the diagnosis, unexplained infertility. So it's almost like, okay, Lord, it would be easier in some ways if You would just either say yes and answer our prayer, or just say no and slam the door. But this kind of waiting and not knowing and continuing to pray, that's hard. That's a hard place to be. And I know that if you're in that place of praying and it's not a yes or no, but it's just a wait, and you know you just need to continue to fervently trust God and surrender and pray, that is a hard place to be, because it requires perseverance and a consistent trust in the Lord. And we're consistently taking our anxious worries, our thoughts, and we're bringing them before the Lord and saying, God, I still long for this, but I trust You. I always visualize it, and like sometimes I'll even pray like this, where I hold my hands out in front of me, and rather than praying with my hands locked together, you know, like traditional prayer or the flat-handed prayer where your hands are together in front of you, flat, I'll just hold my palms, both palms open, facing up, and pray to the Lord in that posture. And what that signals to me physically is it's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of open-handedness. It's a prayer that says, Lord, I long for children. And y'all, I'll just say a quick aside that Zach and I recently adopted, and we did a whole episode on that recently. You can check it out. It's been an amazing God story, the way He has taken us down this path of adoption, given us these two amazing boys. I am so blessed beyond measure, and experiencing motherhood with them has been one of the greatest joys, truly. But there is still a longing in my heart to be able to conceive and just get pregnant naturally, the way God designed it, right? And to have a pregnancy that lasts, and to be able to birth and experience that and have biological children. There's still a desire. It hasn't completely gone away. So it is something that I'll pray for. So as I'm so joyful and content and excited for this season of motherhood with my boys, which I absolutely love, I'm still on the other side praying and saying, Lord, if this be Your will. And so it doesn't mean that sometimes even when God does answer our prayers in other ways, it doesn't mean that the other longings that we have just go away completely. And you can have both and at the same time. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing right now. But back to the prayer, this has been true for me lately, even, you know, just to show you that this isn't like, oh, I've conquered this and I'm done. I'm fully surrendered, fully trusting the Lord. No, like I still have unfulfilled longings, still unanswered prayers. And I still bring those to the Lord. But this posture of open-handed prayer, for me, it signals to me, like I said, surrender, trust, saying, Lord, I hold this longing with an open hand. My hands aren't clenched. They're not tightly closed. I'm not clinging to this as my hope and this, you know, you better answer this or else my life's going to be ruined. It's an open-handed posture of saying, Lord, You know better than me. You see my life from the beginning to the end. You will give me what I need. Lord, I trust You with that. So I pray for this passionately, fervently. I cry out to You for this unfulfilled longing in this prayer. But Lord, at the same time, my hands are open. I am surrendered. You are God and I am not. I humbly come before You and ask You for this blessing, but I trust You with the outcome. Lord, I trust you for whatever you're going to do, whether I ever get married or not. Lord, I trust you. You are good. You will give me what I need. Lord, if I ever have that one good friend, that friend who knows me in and out that I can walk life with, Lord, if I never get that one good friend, I trust you because I have you. You are my truest friend. Lord, if my parents never get back together, if the pain of the divorce plagues me for my life and impacts me until I die, Lord, you are the restorer. You are the redeemer. Lord, you can give me what I need. I trust you with that. Lord, if I never get that job, if I never land that dream job or even that working from home job or whatever I long for my life to look like, Lord, if that doesn't happen, God, I cry out to you. But if you don't answer that prayer in the way I want, my hands are open. I'm surrendered. You are God and I am not. I humble myself before you and I trust you, right? And so any prayer, and I encourage you to do this even right now. If you're in a quiet place where you can close a door and you can open your hands, I'm going to pray for us at the end. And I want you to join me in that prayer. And I would love for you to pray with your hands open, joining me in that sisterhood, linking arms, posture of humility, posture of surrender before the same God that we all love and we all pray for, trusting him for that unfulfilled longing. Because truly, the Lord, he will give us what we need and not always what we want. Sister, I love you, and I want you to know that as I pray here in just a minute, I am praying for you. God knows who you are. He knows who is listening to this right now, and I'm asking him to intercede on your behalf and to give you what you truly need. And maybe for you, that's a deeper trust in him. That's a deeper anchored trust in his plans. Maybe it's a belief that he truly is good. Maybe it's for you believing what scripture says, trusting that who God says he is who he is. Maybe for you, it's you need to see God's character through the lens of scripture and the gospel and not through the lens of your circumstances. There's so many things we can pray for together, and I'm so excited to do that. But I want to end by reading some verses from Psalm 103, because Psalm 103 is a beautiful prayer of us blessing the Lord, us praising the Lord's name. And I know in my life, one of the hugest things that has helped me as I've wrestled with my unfulfilled longings and unfulfilled desires, unanswered prayers, is crying out to the Lord in gratitude. Not just making requests to the Lord, Lord, give this to me, Lord, I long for this, Lord, please, I need this, right? But saying, Lord, you are good. I bless your name. And really calling out the character of our Lord and praising him. I know pursuing a heart of gratitude to the Lord intentionally is something that has helped me so much, even today, as I still, like I said, wrestle with these unfulfilled longings, unanswered prayers, crying out to the Lord and praising his name. It brings so much joy in our life because it reminds our hearts of who he is. It reminds our hearts of what truly matters. It reminds us that we are so small and God is so big, and yet he loves us so much and cares for us so much and sees every detail of our lives and promises to give us what we need. And so listen to Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is the word of our Lord. Psalm 103, ESV. Guys, dig into Psalm 103. Was that not beautiful to just sit and listen to the praise of our God coming out of our lips? I encourage you to make that psalm, Psalm 103, your prayer as you find yourself in that place of despair. You get out of despair by remembering who God is, by trusting him, placing your faith and hope in him. He pulls us out of the pit. So use Psalm 103 as a prayer for your heart. I encourage you to do that. I also want to give you, like I said at the beginning, a free resource, which has been so helpful for me. It's something that Bethany and I created here at Girl Defined to help us trust the Lord. It's just a really practical acrostic. Each letter in the word trust reminds us of how we trust him. So T-R-U-S-T. T reminds us to turn from our sinful thoughts. Fear not, for I am with you, Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. The R reminds us to remember who Christ is, that he is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, John 8:12. The U reminds us to uplift God's great name, like we were just doing. Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The S in trust stands for surrender. Surrender your plans to God. Psalm 9:10 reminds us, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. What a beautiful reminder. And then the last T in trust reminds us to thank God for the blessings that we have. Because James reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So often when we don't have certain things, we forget to thank God for all that we do have, right? The many blessings he's given us. Thank you guys so much for having this conversation with me. I hope it's been encouraging to you. I know I was encouraged in just chatting with you right now because I, even as I was speaking, was being reminded of so much truth, and it was ministering to my heart to remember that God is good, that he can be trusted, that he sees our needs, he sees our longings, he cares about us deeply, and he always promises to give us, to supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we can trust him for that, that he will give us what we need. Not what we want, but what we truly, truly need. Let's pray together. And if you're able to open your hands, your palms out, I encourage you to just place your hands in front of you, open palms facing up, and just join me in this prayer of surrender. Oh Lord, we come before you now together as sisters, hearts united from around the world. Our hands are open, God, and we cry out to you and praise you for your goodness, for your graciousness, for your mercy, for your holiness. We praise you for the incredible gift of Jesus Christ that you gave us. You sent your only son to die on a cross, to atone for our sins, to rip the curtain away that separated us from you, to restore our relationship. Through Jesus, we have access to your throne, which is where we come now, boldly before the throne of grace, crying out to you, God, thank you for Jesus, for the incredible sacrifice that you have given us. We, as your daughters, we are grateful, Lord. If we received nothing else in this life but Jesus, Lord, that truly would be enough. Because that is the deepest desperate need of every person walking this earth, is the desperate need to be reconciled to our God and Savior and to walk in a right relationship with you. And God, you have given us that in Christ, and we praise you for that. But Lord, we are humans, and you know that. You know that you're mindful that we are but dust. And you tell us, Lord, to bring our needs, our desires, our requests before you. And we do that, Lord, with open hands. I pray for every woman listening. God, you see the longings of her heart. You see the prayers that are top of mind for her, the things that she's been crying out to you, the long journey, the waiting. God, it's hard. And you see that and you know that. And Lord, I pray that if it would be your will, that you would grant the longings of our hearts that are in line with your word, that you would give us the good gifts that we pray for. Lord, that you would answer our prayer. But God, if you have different plans for us, if you are asking us to wait, would you give us patience, perseverance? Would our hope and our trust not be in getting that good gift? Would that not be where our hope lies? God, but would it lie in you? Would we say, whether the Lord gives or not, my hope is in him? Lord, but we ask you boldly for these prayers to be answered. Lord, for the woman who's experiencing grief and loss, I pray that you would draw near to her as you promise in the Proverbs, that you would draw near to her in her brokenheartedness. Lord, comfort her, give her peace. Remind her, Lord, that you are working all things out for her good and your glory, and that one day, even the pain that she's walking through right now, Lord, you can use that as a bridge to minister to other women who are walking through similar pain. I've seen you do that again and again in my life through my miscarriages and infertility. Lord, you have greater plans even in our grief, even in our loss. Lord, and you are working all things out to build your kingdom. Help us to get on board with that mission. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We lift all of these requests before you. Strengthen us, Lord. Empower us to walk in a relationship with you rightly according to your word. Give us joy and gratitude, we pray. Help us to be faithful daughters, faithful followers of Christ. Because, Lord, this earth is not our home. We are passing through. Help us to run this race faithfully, build endurance and steadfastness in us so that we can finish strong for your glory and one day hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, sister. I'm going to continue to pray for you. We are in this together. I would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to me personally at kristen@girldefined.com. I would love to hear from you, your thoughts on this episode, challenges you're walking through, prayer requests. Please feel free to reach out. And then I just realized that I never actually gave you the URL for that freebie, that trust acrostic. You can download it at girldefined.com/trust. girldefined.com/trust. It's a PDF. It's a beautiful one-page printable. You can print it up and every day you'll have those scriptures I mentioned, those words that go with the trust, T-R-U-S-T acrostic, and have those truths. You can even save it on your phone to remind your heart of how to trust God in those moments when you feel like you're turning away. So I encourage you to grab that girldefined.com/trust. And then again, in closing, I hope you'll join us for the 2021 Girl Defined Conference, July 30th and 31st. It is not too late to join us in person in San Antonio, grab a girlfriend or two, a sister, or to just tune in online. You can watch from your phone, from your tablet, from your computer, by yourself with a group. Again, your simulcast ticket's only $39 and it will give you a year access to the entire conference and all the breakouts. And you are going to want to tune in. My breakout session is particularly on three truths for overcoming fear, anxiety, and worry, which goes hand in hand with what we were talking about today, something else that God is growing me in every day and helping me to learn how to walk a life that isn't ridden with anxiety, fear, and worry. So if you get the conference package, your simulcast ticket, you will get access to that session as well. And so I hope you'll join us. Go to girldefined.com/conference, girldefined.com/conference for more details. I love you, sisterhood. Thank you so much for being with me today, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode.